Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The title of what I have for you tonight is The Role of a Pastor, which you can see I waited till after you voted. Not really, but I had been working on this, and that came about a little faster than I thought might. But I'd like to hear maybe some one-word definitions from you on what you would consider the role of a pastor. Teacher. Shepherd. Leader. Go ahead, Linda. Not a cattle driver. Okay, not a cattle driver. A sheep driver, though. No. Okay. Somebody else? Counselor. Say it again. Abide in the Word. Somebody else? Okay. Christian? Yeah. Genuine. Friend, all right? Transparent. Now, you may have heard the distinction made before, and I'm sure you haven't ever said it, but maybe you've heard it, that so-and-so is a great pastor to his congregation, but boy, he's a lousy preacher. Or maybe he sure can preach, but boy, he's not much of a pastor. Maybe you've heard that. I'm sure no one is in here has ever said that, but you've probably heard it. I've heard comments like that in the past on more than one occasion, and what is it that people mean when they make remarks like that? What kind of difference in ministerial roles do people have in mind when they distinguish between a pastor and a preacher? You see, I believe most Christians today think of pastoral duties as those such as staff meetings and budgets, and phone calls, and writing letters, and counseling. And I also think many Christians today consider what the pastor does in the pulpit as being only partially important to his overall duties that he should be performing, or that he should be within his guidelines to his congregation. You see, I believe that the primary role of the pastor is to be about the business of teaching and preaching the gospel to the flock in which he's been called. The primary responsibility is to teach and to preach the gospel to the flock in which he's been called. You see, I believe the proclamation of the word is the pastor's number one focus and the number one priority, and that all other things are to be considered minor underneath that umbrella of preaching and teaching in comparison to the gospel. Number one. So in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 is where we're going to begin tonight. And the Bible says, how then they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And then as we reflected back this morning in Romans 10, you can go back down to verse 17 as we talked about this morning. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? God. You see, I believe that Paul is indicating here that Christ speaks through the pastor. I believe that Christ speaks through the preacher. When the pastor is standing and preaching the word of Christ, Christ is speaking through him. What more important role can a pastor have than to make sure that he is accurately and faithfully devoting himself to time and preparation and anticipation of proclaiming the word of Christ each and every time he steps in front of the congregation? Conversely, how many times has Jesus not spoken to the congregation because Billy, because the pastor is not prepared, or has not studied, or has not devoted his time and anticipation of presenting the Word of God? You see, here's to me, when I think of the word pastor, here are some of the things that I think of. Study. Prepare, right? To make the sermon applicable that we can take out of here with us every day. See, we could stand up here and teach theology that's as high as the ceiling, but who gets that? Not many of us, right? So to make it where we can take it out here with us and we can put it into our daily life every day. What can I take with me? What can I share every day? And then to me, if you are looking for a pastor that's going to sit in that office in there for 8 hours a day, then I'm the wrong guy. And here's my thinking on that. We are to be where the sheep are. The sheep are not in that office. And I've told Jonathan and Al Ray the same thing. Do not be tied to an office. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is where the sheep are. Ministry is getting outside of these walls and taking Christ with us. It's not to be stuck in here answering a phone. That's not ministry. We have cell phones. You can get a hold of anybody you want to at any time you want to. And so, ministry is outside. Outside. Most of us in this church tonight are saved. Probably the biggest portion, the large portion, are saved. Ministry is to go reach folks that are not saved, to carry the gospel of Christ to those who have not accepted it. How do we do that? We must have a relationship with non-Christians in order to get them to come to church, or to get them to want to understand the word. And as far as I know, most non-Christians don't hang out at the church office. Amen? So our duty as ministers is to go where the sheep are, to go where the lost. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. This is the words of Paul to the young preacher Timothy. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. That is Paul speaking to Timothy. So the primary focus of a pastor is to preach and to teach the word. Now, we ask, what is a pastor? And we talked about that definition. And I agree that I believe the pastor is also the shepherd of the local body. the shepherd of the local body that God has called him to lead. Now, leadership is a funny word. Because Linda said, as a cattle driver. You see, there's a difference between leader and dictator. Right? And so in all that I do and all that I've tried to teach my family, all that I try to teach at school is that we are solely, here's my definition of leadership. Leadership is servanthood. That's what it is. You're not a leader if nobody's following. And if you're not serving, they're not going to follow you. So leadership is servanthood. So leadership is by service. So the pastor is the shepherd of the local body that God has called him to, which takes me over to Acts in the 20th chapter. Acts chapter 20. And look at verse 8. Nope. Think I got the wrong verse. Verse 28. Yeah, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with the wisdom of his own blood. You see, a pastor should provide spiritual direction and pursue the vision for the church. Spiritual direction and pursue vision for the church. And the church vision is already outlined for us. It's already in here, right? Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. I'm sure you had this memorized. Matthew chapter 28. Is the vision of the church. We call it the what? The Great Commission. Look at verse 19 and 20. Or 18 says, "And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." And any vision that distracts me, the pastor, or distracts the church from the Great Commission is not of God. Think of that. Anything that distracts us away from the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, is not from God. So the leader, the pastor, is one who is pursuing a worthy mission so that he, me, I, may be an example of service and not by just directing you. And pushing you and prodding you. But it is an example. And Jesus provided that example. Turn back in Matthew to chapter 20. Look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever would be great among you must be your what? Servant." Leadership by service. "And whoever would be the first among you, you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So as Christians, we are to be servants. We're to serve each other. And there's a big umbrella of things that go under that word serve. But as the pastor, we are to serve. Billy, Al Ray, Jonathan, we are to be servants to you. We are to be servants. We are to serve you. We are to serve you in prayer. We are to serve you in your times of need. We are to serve you. You see, the church is not supposed to be like the world. The church is not supposed to be like what's going on in the world all around us, where a leader lords over all of those under him. You see, in God's plan, the leader humbles himself and he serves everybody rather than sitting on this pedestal and being served by others. Remember the vision given to the church in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Remember that. The vision is to go and make disciples of all the nations and to baptize them in Jesus' name and to teach them to obey all that is commanded in the Word of God. And the pastor's role is to oversee the instruction of the local body and to communicate a vision, to communicate the vision to the people and find ways to equip others in order to answer that call and that vision. And implement these things into our body and into our community through our body. You see, God provides the vision and he commits the direction of the church to the pastor, and then the pastor and the leaders of the church are constantly seeking that guidance and that direction. Seeking the will of God in order to execute the vision that's outlined by Christ to accomplish the purpose of Christ, which is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So, one of my duties is to equip you to be able to leave here with the Great Commission, and to go outside of these walls and to take on the role that God has ordained for you, that God has ordained through each and every member of this congregation, and take it with you. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles, or gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. For building up the body of Christ. Some of you are very equipped. Some of you have never been given an opportunity to be equipped. And maybe you don't even know what that means. But God has given you a specific role within this congregation. That's why we talk about, you know, family. There's a song out there that I love, and I'm not going to sing it for you. But the song is called We Are the Body. Right? Has anybody ever heard that song before? Jonathan, you know that song? You want to sing it? We Are the Body. Go ahead and give me a little tune there. Huh? if we are the body? Why aren't our hands reaching? Why aren't our feet going? And so every one of us is part of the body. And we all have different roles. There are people in here that will walk up to someone and grab them by the hand and pray with them. There are some in here that don't feel comfortable doing that. There are some in here that have hidden scripture after scripture after scripture in their heart, and they can comfort. There are some that are very comfortable going to that prayer room back there by themselves and closing that door and praying for an hour. There are some very confident in themselves in teaching a class. There are some very confident in themselves singing in the choir. There are some very confident that they can shake a hand and welcome someone to church. We all have different roles, but listen, in the same sense, we all have the same role, and that is the Great Commission. So we all have a role that is gaining itself unto the ultimate goal of the kingdom of Christ, is to take the gospel and teach and preach it to the world. And finally, the pastor serves. You see, the pastor's role to serve the congregation in the way God has equipped him to serve. And so within that, I think everyone's a little bit different. There are some pastors that I have been under, they're not very personable. Is that wrong? No. Because personalities do play a part in the way they're going to serve. They just do. It's human nature. I like to think of myself and my family as very transparent. We are what we are. We don't have a hidden agenda. And we're very personable. And we love to get prayer requests. We love to pray with you. We love to hear what's going on in your life. That's all important to me. I want to know you. Not just your face on Sunday. But I want to know your life. And I want to know who you are. So the way we serve and the way I serve and the way my family serves may be different than the last guy or the next guy. And that's okay. Because we still have to have our personalities involved in this. And so I have to be Billy. And that's not Graham. Wake up. I have to be Billy Dawson. And who that is. And the way that I serve, and the way God's equipped me to serve. I was never intended, a pastor was never intended to sit high above the people, to be worshiped by the people. A pastor and the church leaders should be following the example of Christ to humble himself and become a servant. The Bible talks distinctly about pride destroying, and humility is always honored by God. You see, I believe that a pastor is on equal footing with the lowliest position in the church. God equips and ordains each one of us for different positions in the church. However, each individual has equal worth and is measured by God according to his faithfulness, not his status. Anybody get that? God equips and ordains each one of us for a different role, for a different position in the church. And each individual has equal worth and is measured by God according to his faithfulness, not his status. So I may have the smallest role in the church, but it's my faithfulness to that role. Proverbs 16:18 is that verse that we remember so well, that Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Turn over to James chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He shall exalt you. Flip over a few chapters back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty. So 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 23 gives us an idea that we're all different. We all have a different role to play, but we can't accomplish Matthew 28 without each other. And all together, doing our part and our role. So the pastor's role is to preach and teach. The pastor's role is to lead. And the pastor's role is to serve. That's it. That's our role. And I think in that order. I know I've seen pastors that really do not want to know you personally, and that you're almost hesitant to pick up the phone and when you need something. I want to assure you that's not me. I want to know. I want to be in prayer with you. I want to be a prayer partner with you. I want to know who you are and what you're going through. But I also want you to understand, on the flip side of leadership is the side that it is my duty to try to equip you, to encourage you, to motivate you to be uncomfortable, to do something you don't really, you know what I mean. And so when I stand up here sometimes on Sunday mornings, I challenge you. Because I want you to shuffle in your seat. I want you to be uncomfortable. Because in order to change, and this world's changing. So as this world changing, guess what, Second Baptist Church, what we have to do to meet the needs of the world? What do we have to do? That just broke some of you's heart to say it. But isn't it right? We got to change. We got to do something different. We've got to go reach the people with the gospel, Matthew 28. And in order to do that, we've got to go out into this world in places that are uncomfortable with people we're not comfortable being around and reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're commissioned to do. So now the question is, how are we going to do that? How do we do that? And that's what we all should be in prayer about. God, how are you going to use me? God, what is my role in this? God, where do I fit in? What part of the puzzle, what part of the body am I? And then God slowly will start showing us how we're going to reach this people. And He's going to show you, Bob. And He's going to show you, Luke. And Sherry, He's going to show you. And every one of us, our role. Where is our role? And then it's up to us on an individual level to accept that role and to buy into the body and to carry it out. And it's the role of the pastor to try to equip you, help you, show you that direction, motivate you to whatever it is God has for you, ordained for you, your role inside of the body. Because I can assure you, your role is not to show up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and leave. That's not your role. Your role is greater than that. It's deeper than that. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Paul's word, Lord. Thank you, Father, for placing us together. Lord, that we all have different personalities, different gifts, and different roles. And Father, you fit us together like a puzzle. And you have each one of us here for a specific reason in an area, Lord, that we may do our part in the body of Christ. That we may do our part in the body of Second Baptist Church. And Father, may we be pleading prayerfully for our role within this church and this congregation. Father, that we would take the gospel outside of these four walls of this church. Father, that church would not just be about showing up to hear somebody preach and sing a few songs, but church would be, Father, our daily life. That we would continue to commune with you and praise you and honor you, even, Father, when we're upset or frustrated. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you, Father, that you have placed us here, this specific place and time, to do your work. And Father, may we never ignore Matthew 28 that tells us to go and teach and preach and baptize and teach them the commandments. Father, our world needs your teachings. Our world needs you. So, Father, we are to leave this place and go where the sheep are, and to take the gospel with us, and to encourage, and to love, and to pray for all of those around us at work, at Walmart, at church, wherever the sheep are. So, Father, my prayer is this week that there would be some of these cross our path, and, Father, that you would remind us of the opportunity that is in our path. And Father, that we would take that opportunity and that we would show Jesus. And in that, we'll give you the honor and the praise. It's in the name of Jesus which we lift these requests and which we thank you. It's in His name. Amen.